without the power of the Holy Spirit, there will be no spiritual progress.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the source of strength that drives our spiritual growth.
It is the Holy Spirit's job to enable the new nature to manifest itself in the life of the believer.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. A lot of people believe that spiritual growth is something we do by sheer willpower, or in some cases, won't power. But today, Dr. Evans explains that replacing our old nature with our new one isn't something we do alone. Let's join him as he explains.
God has given every believer the Holy Spirit, who is the indispensable power component for the proper working of the parts of your new nature. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to make the new nature work. Today, in this next part of our series, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, the enablement for spiritual growth. In John 14, Jesus has just told his disciples that he's going to leave. This creates a crisis of epic proportion. They've walked with Jesus for 3 years, and that question is, how am I going to make it if you're not here? We've looked to you for everything. We've depended on you for everything, and now you're going to disappear on us, talking about going to build a place for us in heaven, but we're still living on earth. If you leave us, how are we going to make it? Jesus answers their question about how they're going to make it when he's not physically here to walk with them as he had done for 3 years. Most of us probably feel like we'd be much better off if we had Jesus physically walking with us all day. Well, that's not Jesus's view. Because he says in verse 16 of John 14, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Now, there are two key words I want you to note here. The word another in the Greek means another of the same kind. In other words, I'm not going to give you a cheap substitute. That is, he has the same essence, character. Now, the word helper is from the Greek word paraclete. And paraclete means one called alongside to assist. Who is this helper, this enabler that Jesus was going to leave behind? Verse 26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm leaving you right now because I've got a job to do preparing you for eternity and ruling from heaven. But I am going to send to you, it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where I'm going to place my spirit in you and I'm going to dwell inside of your new nature. And the way I'm going to do that is through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, the problem we have with this is we're talking about a spirit. So we're talking about a non-material person. Let's clarify. We're not talking about a force, nor are we talking about an it. In verse 16 and 17, notice the words he, him, he. Talking about a person. In other words, he has intellect, emotions, and will, the attributes of personhood. It is the Holy Spirit's job to enable the new nature to manifest itself in the life of the believer. Hold your finger here and look back to chapter 7 of John at two verses. Let me read from verse 37, three verses to 39. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out and said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit had not yet been given. He says, from your innermost being, way down in the crevice of your soul, a new nature was deposited, which we've already gone into, so that a brand new spiritual reality was placed inside of you at the point of your salvation. At the heart of that new nature is a battery that's a person, and his name is the Holy Spirit, and his job is to make the waters flow. To make the waters flow is simply to make sure that the full assortment of the supernatural resources planted within you at the point of salvation are working. He is the personal pump to make sure that the water does not stagnate and that the new nature is working. But he says it flows from the innermost part of you. So spiritual growth takes place way deep down inside of you. Most Christians are depending on themselves to produce the development that they know they ought to have and that God wants them to have. See, the assumption of the work of the Holy Spirit is you can't do it yourself. And so they try with their own limited human understanding to produce a growth that the Holy Spirit has already been put there to produce. Newborn babies, when babies are forming in the womb, they don't try to grow, they grow. Because the process is embedded in the conception of life. Just as air enables a horn to sound, or wind enables a sailboat to move, the Holy Spirit enables the spiritual life to work. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, there will be no spiritual progress. So if you're tired of trying to make your spiritual life work, if you are weary of trying to have victory and constantly experiencing defeat, but you know Jesus Christ and have accepted him as your Savior, your problem is not the parts, your problem is the power. His name is the Holy Spirit. And he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will help you. He will enable or empower you as you abide with him and he with you. Verse into verse 17 says, he abides with you and he will be in you. Okay, I know what you're saying. You said, wait a minute now. You're telling me that all this power, you know, I've been going to this Bible conference to find me some power. I've been listening to these tapes to find me some power. I've been reading these books to find me some power. And after going to all of this, I still don't have any power. You're looking in the wrong direction from your innermost being, it says. Well, that naturally raises the question. How do I engage this new personalized helper? How does that become real for me? Let's go back to a favorite scripture, Ephesians chapter 5. We know so well, but let's review it very quickly. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. He says, you got to become full of him. Do not be drunk with wine, but get drunk. God is giving you permission to become intoxicated. Now, you've been trying to find a legitimate way. He wants you to become a spiritual drunkard. God is inviting you to become spiritually inebriated. God is welcoming you to drink to your heart's content. Just not with wine. He says, be not drunk with wine, which is going to take you down. Dissipation. It's not going to help you out. But be filled, in other words, drink a lot of something with the Holy Spirit. When a person is drunk, they come under the influence. The alcohol attacks the brain and begins to change the personality. Quiet folks start talking loud. People can't walk straight. They can't pass the sobriety test. Please give them. You see, they are under the influence. They have drunk so much that they are full of it. They are full of alcohol, and the alcohol now dictates the agenda. The alcohol says, we're sleeping now. The alcohol says, we singing now and you can't sing. The alcohol will remove the passivity and turn you to be aggressive, and you can't help it because you're under the influence. Something else is dictating your actions because you're full. Now, once you stop drinking, you're going to get sober and be back to your natural self once you stop drinking. You don't get drunk by looking at liquor. You don't get drunk by talking about liquor. You don't get drunk by hanging out with drunks. You get drunk by drinking. Yeah, that's the only way you get drunk. And the more you drink, the drunker you get. God says you have the helper inside of you in your innermost being. To see the helper grow you, develop you way down there, he must have control. You must come under the influence.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with more about what that influence looks like as he continues this lesson from his series, The Essentials of Spiritual Growth. It's a 2-volume, 16-lesson collection that'll take you one by one through the influences and activities that either contribute to our spiritual growth or stand in its way. You'll discover new ways to resist temptation and sin, learn to hold on to the lifelines of God's Word and prayer, grab hold of your new identity, and move on toward maturity. Here's the good news. For a limited time, you can get this giant powerhouse collection of messages as our gift when you help us keep Tony's teaching on this station by making a donation of any amount. So visit us today at tonyevans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222 to make the arrangements before time runs out on this special offer. Again, that's tonyevans.org or call us day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. Right now, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's lesson.
The Holy Spirit functions in that which is spirit because that's who he is. And that's why verse 19 says, in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. In other words, the Holy Spirit fills up the environment that is filled with worship. Worship is the filling station that fills up the Holy Spirit's presence operating in you to engage the new nature to become what it was meant to be. The problem is most of us worship as an event and not as a lifestyle. So we get full on Sunday morning. We're like submarines are made to go under the water, but every now and then they come up to the top and then they go back down. A lot of us are like that. We come up for air on Sunday morning and then we dip back down the rest of the week and then we come back up. What God is saying is, if what you do on Sunday becomes a way of life all week long, you're going to be full of it. You're going to come, you're going to be an intoxicated saint, and you won't have to look for spiritual growth. Spiritual growth will track you down. Sunday is not supposed to replace your Monday worship. Sunday is supposed to launch you into your week's worship. Worship was meant to be a lifestyle, not an event. Here is the problem. Be full of the Spirit. You pull into the filling station. And you say, fill them up. Or these days, you get out and fill it up yourself. You say, fill it up. And now you're full of it. You're full of gasoline. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. The moment you leave the station where you were full, see, if you could just stay at the station, if you could just sit at the station all day, nothing would happen to the filling. The filling would not go anywhere because you're not going anywhere. You're sitting right there at the pump. But all of us know the only reason you go to a filling station is to get what you need to leave it. You don't go to a filling station to stay there. You go to a filling station to get what you need in order to leave the filling station. But the problem is, once you start leaving the filling station with your full car, your gasoline is being burnt up. You are dissipating your filling once you leave the station. Have you ever noticed you come to church on Sunday morning and get full? You got to pump over here with the choir. You got to pump over here with the worship leader. You got to pump over here with the sermon. And you leave here just going, woo! Soon as you walk out the door, gasoline being, but can smell it. People burn it up. Mates burn it up. Children burn it up. The Lord have mercy on Monday. The whole workforce burned it up. You want to know what happened to my filling? The same thing that happens to a car when it leaves the station, it's being sucked out. You come to church and feel like you can take the world because you got full of the Spirit. You got full of God's presence. You got full of God's glory in the corporate worship. But soon as you walk out of here, Satan's job is to burn up the filling. But God says, if you will keep drinking what you were drinking when you were in corporate worship, you're going to stay filled. The worst thing you can do is wait to Sunday to worship. That's the worst thing you can do. Because if you didn't hit Sunday, you wouldn't notice so much what you lost. But once you've been in his presence, felt his presence, known his presence, and you see how you act when you leave, what God has done in your life is the Holy Ghost. The very Spirit of God has taken up residence in your life. And what he wants to do is express the mind of God, thoughts of God, desire of God, will of God through your mortal bodies. But in order for you to see it, you got to get drunk. Look at Galatians 5, where this concept is stated another way. Verse 16, he says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things which you please. One of the ways you know you're a Christian is the battle that rages. He says, you have two things and they are not getting along. The flesh and the spirit. How do you know the difference between the two? Very simple. The spirit wants to please God and the flesh wants to please you. And they are battling. You see? So if you're going through a battle, while you may not like the feeling of the conflict, you can praise God because it is the battle of somebody who's on the battlefield. Paul says, the things I don't want to do. He says, I see two laws working in me, and they're in total opposition to one another. I am in a war. You're in a war because you're on the battlefield. He says in verse 16, walk in the spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Now, don't misread that. He does not say walk in the spirit and you won't have the desires of the flesh. You're in the flesh. And guess what the flesh does? Desire the flesh. That won't change till you die and you don't have flesh anymore. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Because my body wants to do things that my spirit doesn't want to do. And he says, what do I do? And he says the solution is walk in the spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Not that you won't have them, it's just the flesh won't have the last say. Now, what does it mean to walk in the spirit? First of all, if you're going to walk in the spirit, that means the spirit must be going somewhere. Where is the spirit taking you? The spirit is only taking you one place, and he always goes to the same place, to that which brings God glory. That's where the spirit takes you. The spirit is always moving to that which will glorify God, always. The flesh is always moving to that which will please self, in opposition to that which glorifies God. He says, walk with the spirit. That means the destination. Now, if you're walking, you not only have to deal with the destination, but you also have to deal with the dedication, because walking is continuous. Walking, you don't do this and say, this was where I walked today. Walking involves one step after another. In other words, it is continuous. It's like the filling thing. It must be ongoing. Thirdly, walking involves dependency, because you have to lean on one leg, then lean on another leg. You've got to rest on something else. Now, here's the key to walking in the spirit. Walking in the spirit simply means I am looking to the Spirit of God to give me the ability to do what I know I can't do on my own. Now, watch this. The moment you can do it on your own, you have canceled the work of the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't need your help. You need his. We're talking about God in you. Pride will keep you from leaning. Because pride says, I can do it on my own. But when you realize you've been broke. See, that's why God will let you fall flat on your face. To let you know you've been broke. That's why he'll let you become a spiritual cripple. Why is God letting me fall on my face? He will let you fall as low as you need to get to learn you broke, so that you begin to lean on him. And when you lean on him, walk leaning on him. That is dependency on him. That is, I am looking to you to do in me what I could never do on my own. You are then walking in the Spirit. And he says, when you walk in the Spirit, the flesh will lose its ability to have the last word. Now, it's not going to shut up and act like it's not there, but it won't have the clout, because you'll be full of the Spirit. You will be completely energized by a power that's not your own. And for those believers who've experienced this, who've seen the Spirit of God take over and his power call the shots, then you begin to see the supernatural process of the life of God. And then you get what you're looking for, and that is life. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, and the Spirit gives life. Animation. He makes it become alive. He makes it become real. It's no longer theology now. It's okay to have theology in the head as long as it becomes reality in the life. But simply to say amen and open up your Bible and not experience it, that's not what you want. You ought to leave here today saying, I want to know what this power is like. I want to know what it is when the Spirit causes me to say no to the alcohol. When the Spirit causes me to say no to the drugs. I want to know what it's like when He has the final say, because I'm leaning on Him. I'm placing my dependency. Okay, Holy Spirit, my dependency is on You. I know without You today, I'm going to blow it. So I'm leaning on You. I can't make it on my own. You will begin to experience spiritual growth because the power is at work. God will take over. And you'll want to know, how am I growing this fast? Because you're not trying to grow yourself. It is the work of the Holy Spirit.
The first step of spiritual growth is the most important, to trust Christ for your forgiveness and salvation. Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to tell you how you can do that. But first, if you'd like to get a copy of today's message to review on your own or share with someone else, the title to ask about is The Holy Spirit, the Enablement of Spiritual Growth. You can request it as a standalone message or part of Dr. Evans' two-volume series, The Essentials of Spiritual Growth, yours for a limited time as our thank you gift when you make a donation of any amount to help us keep bringing you this program each day. But don't wait. This special offer won't be available for long. Make a point of calling us today at 1-800-800-3222 to make the arrangements. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222 or visit TonyEvans.org. While you're there, get the latest on Tony's new movie, Kingdom Men Rising, coming to theaters April 29th and 30th. It's a powerful look at how men can stop making excuses and start being the leaders God intended them to be. You'll get to meet Tony's dad and learn about their special relationship. Also featured will be Kirk Franklin, Troy Vincent, Tony Dungy, John Kitna, and others. Again, Kingdom Men Rising is coming to a select theater near you on April 29th and 30th. TonyEvans.org is the place to go for more information. It's been said the church is so focused on bringing new believers into the world that we haven't paid enough attention to getting them from maternity to maturity. And next week, join Dr. Evans as he offers some insight on the subject. Right now, though, he's back with this very important final thought.
If you've been listening to our broadcast and you have not personally trusted Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins so that He can give you the gift of eternal life right now, I want you to go to God and transfer your trust from any and everything else except the Son of God who died on the cross for your sins and arose from the dead. In fact, I'm going to say a little prayer, and you can repeat it after me. You just have to mean it for yourself. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. I believe Jesus Christ, your Son, died on the cross in my place for my sin, and I now am trusting Him alone to forgive me and to give me the gift of eternal life that He promised to give to anyone who came to Him for it. Thank you for saving me. And help me from this day forward to live a life pleasing to You. Congratulations. Welcome to the family.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.